Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Summer's here, and Nordstrom has everything you need for your best dress season ever. From beach days and weddings to weekend getaways and your everyday wardrobe, discover stylish options under $100 from tons of your favorite brands like Mango, Skims, Princess Polly, and Madewell. It's easy, too, with free shipping and free returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today in stores, online at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
This MLB season, FanDuel's Dinger Tuesday is back. And this year, all customers get a profit boost to bet home runs every week. So gear up to go yard all season long on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in select states. Opt-in required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly, and in this episode, I will be recapping day two of the Karen Reed trial. In the last episode, I covered day one with opening statements from both sides, so listen to that one if you haven't already, just to stay up to speed. Now, this is bonus extra content outside of my typical episode schedule, so it would mean so much to me if you guys shared this episode so that my podcast can reach new listeners. Now, without further ado, let's dive into day two of Karen Reed's retrial. The courtroom saw pivotal testimony from Carrie Roberts, a friend of John O'Keefe and an acquaintance of Karen Reed. Carrie recounted the moment when she, Karen Reed, and Jennifer McCabe arrived at 34 Fairview and discovered John O'Keefe's body in the snow outside of Brian Albert's home. She testified that Karen Reed was visibly distressed, repeatedly asking, "Do you think I hit him?" and expressing suicidal thoughts, saying, "If anything happens to John, I'm going to kill myself." Carrie also noted that Karen Reed's Lexus SUV had a broken taillight, which Karen Reed pointed out, questioning if it could have been from hitting John. On cross, defense attorney Alan Jackson scrutinized her previous statements, particularly her grand jury testimony. So Carrie had testified that she heard Karen ask Jen McCabe to Google hypothermia.
while they were in the back of a police cruiser. However, under cross-examination, Carrie admitted saying, quote, "I did not hear her ask that. I was told she asked that," end quote. So when Alan Jackson suggested that someone had instructed her to make that statement, Carrie responded, "Nobody told me to say that. I knew it happened at that time," explaining that she and Jen McCabe had created and written a timeline of events in the days following John O'Keefe's death to refresh their memories. Carrie also testified that Karen pointed out damage to her Lexus SUV's taillight, asking, you know, "Do you think I hit him?" Carrie remembered noticing a metal piece sticking out, thinking someone might catch their jacket on it. However, Alan Jackson highlighted that she did not mention this detail in her initial interview with investigators at all, suggesting potential inconsistencies in her recollection. So again, the defense aims to just keep dismantling the state's witnesses and their credibilities one by one. Then Carrie Roberts described John O'Keefe's body as being covered in snow and his skin feeling cold, quote, "like he had been there in the elements for a while," end quote. She became emotional when she was shown a photograph of John O'Keefe's injuries taken at the hospital, and Alan Jackson questioned whether these injuries were consistent with being struck by a vehicle, implying that there could be some alternative causes. After this, Carrie was excused and they broke for lunch. And then after lunch, we heard from someone incredibly important to the case, which is John's mom, Peggy. Peggy gave some really emotional testimony about the moment that she found out John was in the hospital. And of course, this was after she talked about her family, her marriage, how her daughter, Kristen, had passed away from a brain tumor super suddenly, and that her husband died only, I believe, 2 months after that. And so they were all kind of teaming up to take care of their kids. So when she starts talking about John, of course, she got super emotional. And she said that when she arrived at the hospital, she was walking down the corridor and hadn't even been told anything about John's condition yet. So Carrie had called her and told her that John was found in the snow, but that was all the information or context that she got. So she arrives to the hospital. She has no idea how John is doing yet. But from inside one of the rooms, she could hear Karen shouting, "Peg, is he dead? Is he dead, Peg? Peg, is she dead?" Like, just kept repeating it loudly. And that was the first thing she heard. So naturally shaken by this, Peggy asked a nurse, "What is she doing here?" And the nurse told her that Karen was there for a psychiatric evaluation. So later, Peggy asked Karen what had happened, and Karen reportedly told her, quote, "We went to a party. I left him there." And Peggy, who was stunned, asked, "You just left him there?" And Karen responded, "Yes, I left him there." But of course, that leaves out context. Like, you left him there at the party inside the house, or you left him there in the snowbank. You know, that part is what remains to be seen. That's what we're all trying to figure out. So later that morning, Peggy went back to John's house to help take care of the kids. And while she was there, Karen and her father and her brother show up asking if they can grab some of Karen's things. Peggy said that she let them in, but she later regretted it because she didn't know what they were doing, what their intentions were. She said that they went upstairs, but didn't know what they were doing up there. And it just kind of left her with questions about what their intentions were. Peggy also made it clear that there was no personal interaction with Karen that day. There was no hugs. There was no condolences. They did not talk. At one point, prosecutor Hank Brennan asked Peggy a few key questions like, "Did you ever confront Karen with any accusations when she was in the home that morning?" And Peggy said, "No." And then he said, "Did you ever lean over a kitchen island and say, 'I think he looks like he got hit by a car'?" Again, she says no. And she said she doesn't remember speaking to Karen at all that morning, and she never saw Karen when she left. Then came the cross-examination, and the defense just simply, it was Alan Jackson. He stood up and just said, "I'm very, very sorry for your loss. I have no questions for you." At that point, she was excused. And after Peggy's testimony, the court turned its attention to two clips that the Commonwealth wanted to introduce. One was a Dateline interview from September of 2023, and the other was a clip from the ID docuseries that I was telling you guys about in the last episode. Now, in this clip, Karen is seen reenacting a moment, claiming that Peggy leaned over the kitchen counter and said, "He looks like he's been hit by a car." But the way that Karen delivered this line came across as very menacing. Like, if I were to imitate how she said it like, "He looks like he's been hit by a car." But like, she said it like really witchy. I don't know. I'm probably not doing any justice. I'm sorry. But the way that Karen delivered this line came across as very menacing, and the state wanted to use that clip to show a consciousness of guilt. However, the defense, on the other hand, pushed back pretty hard on that. They said that this clip directly contradicts what Peggy had just testified to less than an hour earlier, and using it now would essentially try to impeach their own witnesses' credibility unfairly. They also argued that the tone of Karen's voice in the video is meant to vilify her and paint her in this negative light. So their suggestion was to just use the transcript if the state feels that it's that important. But playing the video, they say, creates an unfair prejudice about Karen's behavior in that interview. The judge did not make a final decision right then. She said that she would take it under advisement and issue a ruling in the morning. So we'll see. But I can tell you right now, if they do introduce that video, it's not really a good look for Karen. It doesn't make her a very sympathetic defendant. And if I'm a juror sitting in the jury box and I see Karen Reed sitting at the table and I see this clip being played on the TV and literally directly behind, or I guess it's to the side, but when you view it, on the streaming on Law and Crime. You can watch it on YouTube if you watch it live. But if you view it, Peggy is sitting right beside her, like right behind her. I don't know how to explain it, but they're very close. If I'm a juror in that jury box and I see this clip and I see Peggy, who had just gave this very emotional testimony, and then I see Karen's reenactment of Peggy, yeah, it makes Karen look like kind of a bitch. But again, I want to reiterate, the jury was not shown this video because they were just debating whether or not it should even be allowed. So in the morning, we will know if this clip is going to be shown to the jury. And of course, I'll let you know tomorrow if that is the case. So next, the Commonwealth brought in Nicholas Guarino, who for 10 years has worked for the Massachusetts State Police DA's office. He collected the forensic data from Karen Reed's and John O'Keefe's phones using a program called Grayshift, and it produces a gray key progress report. They basically established his role in collecting the forensic data from the phones. And I'm sure the state was just kind of laying foundation to bring him back later. But Brennan questioned him pretty extensively just about the extent of his job and how he performs that job. And that felt like it took forever. But next, we had Daniel Whitley. He was the last witness for today, a paramedic with the Canton Fire Department. He was one of the first responders at 34 Fairview and also an acquaintance or neighbor of Carrie Roberts. He testified that he showed up because he had a Section 12 for Karen Reed, meaning that he had a court order to take her to the hospital for a psych evaluation because of the suicidal comments that she was making. This was not an optional thing. She had to go. So they took her to the hospital in the ambulance, and he shared a conversation that he had with Karen Reed on the way to the hospital, and that she asked if there was any chance her husband could still be alive, and that he was trying to just give her hope that he could still survive, just to kind of keep her calm. And then she started saying things like, quote, "I can't take care of these kids. I can't take care of these kids. They're not my kids. They're his kids." And then at one point, Daniel Whitley said that, you know, he told her it looked like she had a good support system around her. And at that point, Karen picked her head up out of her hands from crying and asked, "Do you know Carrie Roberts?" And he said, "Yes." And she responded, "Anybody who knows Carrie Roberts wouldn't say that about her." And he responded, "Well, she just helped you look for your husband in a blizzard." And to that, she just rolled her eyes and put her head back in her hands. And he basically found that whole interaction to be odd and called her behavior snarky and somewhat implied that maybe her priorities were strange considering John's condition and the circumstances, of course. So on cross, Yannetti questioned Daniel, and he achieved two main things. One, he established that Daniel and Carrie did, in fact, have somewhat of a friendship. He tried to act like, "We're not friends, we don't know each other," but in fact, they are neighbors. They attend block parties together. They're a part of this Facebook group where they helped plan a party where Daniel brought the fire truck and all these things. So, like, there is a little bit of a friendship there, but I guess friendship can be subjective. Like, I think that the servers at Chick-fil-A are my friends, and Austin thinks I'm crazy. So whatever your definition of friendship is, I guess is personal. But the second thing he accomplished was during his testimony, he said that Karen was snarky when he asked if he knew Carrie Roberts and then rolled her eyes. But Yannetti brought up that he never said that in any of his initial reports, suggesting that his memory didn't just get better over the last couple years, implying that this was a later detail added to further bolster the defense's theory that people may be colluding to frame Karen. After that, court wrapped up for the day. They will resume tomorrow at 9 a.m. promptly. That will be Eastern time, of course. And I will be here to update you if anything big happens. I'm really trying to just keep these condensed so you just know kind of the quick facts. These trials, of course, last all day. It's Monday through Thursday. I believe they go from 9 a.m. to 4:30 Eastern time. So it's a whole day thing, but I really just want to kind of condense it so that you don't have to waste all this time. Let me do it for you. Anyways, we'll see you back tomorrow for day 3. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.